The Masters Golf Tournament is underway in Augusta. Sports Illustrated senior writer Michael Bamberger's attachment to that tournament and to professional golf in general is rooted in his affection for some of the men he's met while writing about the game over the years. His new book is titled Men in Green, a reference to the jacket each Masters winner dons at a post-tournament ceremony. Michael, welcome back to Only a Game.
Bill, thanks for having me.
This book is built around your intention to reconnect with various people on two lists that you compiled. One is titled Living Legends, the other Secret Legends. How did you decide who made the cut in each case?
It was impetuous. The names came to me quickly, and once I looked at the list, I had 18 names that I liked. But then, unfortunately or fortunately for Gary Player, he got fired at one point for no particular reason, but I wanted to keep it at 18. And I felt there was a serious omission not having Mickey Wright.
Mm-hmm.
So sadly for Gary, he was out and Mickey Wright was in.
Well, that was the next thing I wanted to get to, because most of the living legends with whom you sought to meet, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Hale Irwin, and so on, accommodated you. Mickey Wright, exceptionally accomplished female golfer with whom our younger listeners may be unfamiliar, did not accommodate you. Why not?
Well, and just for those younger listeners who wouldn't know that name, she dominated golf in the 50s and the 60s. Almost precisely the way that Arnold Palmer did, and if you don't know that name, almost the way Jack Nicklaus did, almost the way Tiger Woods did, if not more so. And she stepped away from the game, and a room at the USGA in its museum in Far Hills, New Jersey, is named for Mickey Wright, and she didn't show up for the opening of that room. When the USGA gave her the Bob Jones Award, she didn't attend that. And people mischaracterize her as being a recluse, and I've gotten to know her over the phone. I've never met her. And I would say that's a total mischaracterization. I think she just moved on. She played all the golf she wanted to play, and she once described it this way. You know, she used to love bass fishing. And then one day she decided, I've caught all the bass I need to catch. I'm moving on to something else.
Arnold Palmer, of course, appears throughout the book. I assume you were in no way disappointed when you reconnected with the man who, for many people at least, personifies the Masters.
He personifies the Masters. What he did is remarkable because he was really playing a niche sport. Now we think of golf as almost a major sport, chiefly because of Tiger and some other factors as well, but Tiger especially. But in Arnold's day, it was still very much a niche sport. He turned pro in 1955, maybe late 1954, actually, and he became an American icon. He has an ability to connect with people and make people feel good about themselves that is remarkable, and he's touched hundreds of thousands of lives at this point in his 85 years. And yeah, I feel very privileged to know Arnold to the degree that I do.
Number five on the Secret Legends list is Dolphus Golfball Hull. He was a good golfer, but he made your list as a caddy, though to identify him only as a caddy feels utterly insufficient, right?
Yeah, I think there's a real depth to him. He grew up in Jackson, Miss. He's an African-American man. In the early 1960s, when he got on tour, almost all the traveling caddies were African-American. Many came from Jackson. Some came from Dallas. Some came from Houston. Some came from Augusta. Well, I should say one thing about Golfball. First off, you wouldn't know the name Golfball, likely, but you might well know the name Raymond Floyd, who's a Hall of Famer, Calvin Peet, who was a very successful golfer, Lee Elder, who was the first African-American to play in the Masters, Pete Brown, who won the San Diego Open. This man caddied in hundreds and hundreds of tournaments and won numerous tournaments, but you wouldn't necessarily know his name.
Michael, there are some contentions in Men in Green that are bound to surprise your readers. For example, you say at one point, the PGA Tour is closer to the NBA than any of us would realize. How's that?
Well, because they're just guys on tour, like the NBA is basketball players on tour. You know, many of them are very well-spoken, and they're college-educated, and they're very smooth in public, and they speak very well in their press conferences. But it would be naive to think that they don't lead private lives that are any different than athletes in any other sport. And that's what I mean by that. The PGA Tour has used this bland marketing phrase for a long time now, these guys are good. Hmm. Well, I would say these guys are good at golf. And if you think that's going to make if you're going to make them paragons for virtue in any other aspect of your life, you're fooling yourself. They're just very good at golf, and other than that, they're no different from, you know, sports writers like myself or NBA stars or some guy selling insurance or anybody else.
When you had checked off all the names on your Living Legends list and on your Secret Legends list, was there one particular visit that struck you as the most significant in terms of what it had taught you?
Well, that's an interesting question. And you know, as I think about that Secret versus Living Legends, just to go back to Mickey Wright for a minute, I sometimes feel like she should be on both lists because she sort of is a secret legend and a living legend. I mean, look how much explanation we had to give before, you know, younger listeners would even know who Mickey Wright is. But I feel like maybe Dolphus Hole Golf Ball is probably the visit that stands out the most to me when it's all said and done, because here's a guy in his mid-70s, financially wound up with very little by most American standards, in poor health. And when I visited him, what came so apparent was that he loved the life. He loved the life on the tour. He loved the motels. He loved the work. He loved his status. So he lived the life of the golf tour, and it enriched every aspect of his being. And way beyond that, I should say that the level of understanding he had of himself and other people and how they all fit together really is what this whole traveling circus of the PGA Tour is really all about.
Michael Bamberger is the author of Men in Green. Michael, thank you very much for speaking with me.
I'm delighted, Bill. Thanks for having me.